In the name of Allah, the most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we seek His forgiveness and assistance, and we take refuge in Him from the evils of ourselves and our shortcomings. Whomever Allah guides, there is none to misguide him. And whomever Allah leaves to go astray, there is none to guide him. We bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator and the sustainer of the universe. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all humanity. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Indeed, the most truthful word is the book of Allah, the Quran, and the best guidance is the Sunnah or the way of life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد فإن الله تعالى يقول في كتابه الكريم وهو أصدق القائلين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared, and don't die unless you are in a state of Islam or full submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last khutbah, we spoke about some of the excuses that people put forward to delay their tawbah or repentance. Today's topic is very special. I gave this khutbah, or actually it was a lecture at one of the community dinners over a year ago, and this particular lecture or khutbah is not because it is a good one, not because it is impressive, but it is because it has something to do with one of the brothers in the community that I like and respect so much. Brother Farooq is sitting in the back. And the reason that this khutbah has something to do with him is because this is the day he took shahada. I was giving this khutbah after the dinner or this lecture, and he was sitting with us. He came to hear about Islam. He was studying for a long time, for several years, and at the beginning of the khutbah, after dinner, he left. He went out. He spent a few minutes outside. Then he came back, stayed for a couple of minutes. Then he went out, and he came back, and I assume he was touched by something in the lecture. So he came afterwards and he took shahada. So alhamdulillah. That was the first time in my life I gave shahada to someone while he was sitting and I was standing. Usually both of us are standing or both of us are sitting, but because he is much, much taller than me, he was sitting on a chair and I was standing, but still he was taller than me even when he was sitting. But alhamdulillah, and I remember telling the people that this brother came of his own free will to take shahada, because there's no way in the world I can force someone like me, force someone like him to take shahada. The lecture was about what if you die today. And the title was, what if I die today? So at the beginning of the lecture, one of the brothers told me, is the lecture about you, Imam Mustafa, dying, or is it about any one of us dying? So I said, really, it doesn't make any difference. If I die today, inshallah, I will get a better imam, you know, and so on and so forth. But this also applies to any one of us. What if you die today? And if you can close your eyes for 20, 30 minutes and imagine your life and the life of your family without you, and how things will work without you in this world. And before taking long, your death or life doesn't really make any difference for this world or this universe. It would probably make a difference for you, and maybe you make a difference for your family. Because, quite frankly, your death is not going to make the hole in the ozone layer any bigger or smaller. It's not going to make the financial crisis we have today any better or worse. Maybe for some people it will be a cause of great depression, but I'm sure for so many people it will be a great relief. Don't worry about your spouse, your wife, or your husband, because if you are a lady and you lose your husband, the lady will probably get another husband in another 24 months. And if you are a spouse, you lost your, you know, your wife, most likely your husband will get another wife in another 24 hours. Quite frankly. So don't worry about your family. They will be in good hands. Your children will probably get a stepfather or a stepmother. Your spouse will get another one, and life will go on. So don't worry about this. Worry about yourself. Worry about your situation. Not in this life anymore, but about your situation in the life to come. Worry about dying and the difficulty of death, the angels taking your soul. Don't worry about your family, but worry about the grave and the trials and the tribulations in the grave. Worry about standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taking the judgment. And worry about answering for the terrible things you have done in this life. Worry about whether you will go to Jannah, inshallah, or to the hellfire, wal'iyadhu billah. Worry about the judgment or the weighing of the deeds, and worry about walking on the sirat, and so on and so forth. What about seeing all the prophets, and seeing Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and talking to him, and talking to the Sahaba, Abu Bakr, and Umar, and Uthman, and Ali, and all the great Sahaba, and all the great prophets from Adam all the way to Prophet Muhammad, being with them all the time and talking to them and enjoying your time with them and looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think if this is what I want to be and this is where I want to be, or think about the other bad guys in the hellfire, the criminals, the sinful people, the junkies, and disbelievers. Is this where you want to be? Are these the kind of people you want to be with? So you have to make the choice now. Some people say it is hard for me to imagine death and what will happen to me after I die. But really it is not that hard to imagine death and how it feels to be dead, because we experience it on a daily basis. And this is given in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, كَمَا تَنَامُونَ فَكَذَلِكَ تَمُوتُونَ وَكَمَا تُقَضُونَ فَكَذَلِكَ تُبْعَثُونَ. You will die in the same manner you sleep every day, and you will wake up you will be raised from the dead in the same way you wake up in the morning. It is not that difficult. وعمر الخطاب رضي الله عنه يقول أن الموت أخو أو قرين النوم. That death is the twin brother of sleep. Or sleep is the little brother of death. And in the Quran, الله يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها والتي لم تمت في منامها فيمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى. When people die and when they go to sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes their souls, and those who are destined to live another day, Allah will release their souls. But those who die, their soul is taken. في صحيح البخاري روى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا أوى إلى مضجعه كان يضع يده تحت خده ويقول باسمك اللهم أحيا وأموت. Every time the Prophet ﷺ went to bed, he would put his hands under his cheeks and say, O Allah, in your name, we live and die. First thing in the morning when he wakes up, he would say, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. Oh, praise be to Allah who took our souls and gave them back to us and caused us to live another day. So we actually experience a similar experience like death every day. So many people die in their sleep. If you go to bed, maybe this is your last night, because so many people when they sleep, they never wake up in the morning. And they say he died peacefully in his sleep. And most likely he was killed by his wife. Things happen. If people die, especially the disbelievers and the disobedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing they will ask for when they die is, we want to go back. They all say this in the Quran. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتِ كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ سورة المؤمنون آية 99 وآية 100. Every time one of them, the disbelievers and the disobedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الْعُصَى وَالْمُجْرِمُونَ وَالْكُفَّارِ, they will always say, Oh Allah, if only we can go back, mend our ways, and be better people, do better works, and the answer would be no. And حُذَيْ قَتَادَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ يَقُولْ إِنَّ الْكَافِرَ لَا يَرْغَبُ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَى مَالٍ أَوْ أَهْلٍ أَوْ وَلَدٍ وَإِنَّمَا يَعُودَ لِيُصْلِحَ مَا أَفْسَدَ أَوْ لِيُحْسِنَ الْعَمَلِ. So Qatada rahimahullah says that these people don't want to go back because they miss their family so much, they miss their money so much, and they miss their job so much. No, they want to go back to fix the mess they created before the death. So this is the case with the kuffar, the disbelievers and the disobedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for the believers, once they see the grace, the favors, the pleasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala na'im fil jannah, they would never like to go back. They don't want to go back to the world with all the hassle, with all the troubles and the pain and agony and the troubles and the difficulties and travesties of this life and atrocities of this world. They want to stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His pleasures and in His favors and in His grace. Only one category of Muslims would love to come back to this world. كما في الحديث الصحيح أن من يموت لا أحد مما يموت كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرغب في العودة إلى الدنيا إلا الشهيد فإنه يتمنى أن يقتل 10 مرات ثم يعود إلى الدنيا فيقتل 10 مرات ثم يرجع إلى الآخرة لما يرى من الكرام. That no one of those who die wants to go back to the world, either Muslims or non-Muslims, believers or disbelievers, except for the shuhada, the shaheed, the martyr. They wish to go back to this life and die 10 times and go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of all the grace and all the blessings and the great rewards they get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.